Welcome to Voices on Art, the Van Horn Gallery podcast hosted by Daniela Steinfeld. I'm Daniela, and this podcast is about my personal and also about a lot of other people's enthusiasm for art. Art can touch on all parts of life, and therefore we talk about all parts of life. I believe art has a special power, and I hope to get you on board and to tell you interesting stories you enjoy listening to. For our international listeners, the podcast will be held mostly in English. We're recording via the internet, so please excuse any glitches and sound quality. Episode 33, recorded March 15, 2021. My guest today is Joanna Kamm, founder and owner of the eponymous gallery from 2001 to 2014 in Berlin. And since 2018, she is the director of Lister Art Fair in Basel. Hello, Joanna.
Hello, Daniela.
Joanna, there's a lot of information available about your gallery. There's also the archive still online and about your new post as director of Lister, of which we also will talk later. But I don't know so much about your background. So tell me a little bit more how you grew up and how you first encountered art.
Okay. Actually, I grew up in Munich and I decided to move to Berlin for studying in 89, and this was really 2 months before the fall of the wall. So in the moment I moved to Berlin, no one could imagine that Berlin was no longer a divided city. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly everything was different. And I was the right age. I was 20. And you know, then everywhere in Berlin, or let's say in East Berlin, these clubs in the basements popped up and everyone met there, the musicians, the artists, the writers. And it was really a very unique and very special atmosphere, and joining all these concerts and exhibitions and readings. And this was actually my first encounter with young contemporary art. Mm-hmm. My background was, I was more coming from literature. I was studying also German literature and philosophy. Yeah, I was fascinated by this young art scene. And then one thing after the other kind of happened. I can't even say, you know, this special atmosphere in Berlin at this time was really defined by everything is possible. Mm-hmm. I think this situation that it was possible that the wall fell and that we had this new situation in the city and these new free spaces in the city where we could be creative, and all this really, I think, defined a lot of people in Berlin at this time. And I think it really also influenced me in all further steps I have done. And with art, it started with a project space in 98, I opened. Mm-hmm. Then.
Also, you stayed from 89 to 98 in Berlin, did your studies and went through the exhibitions and kind of stumbled into that art scene.
Exactly.
And then in 98, so almost like 9 years later, you opened your first project space.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, it was not at 89 immediately everywhere you had these clubs. It started, yeah, I would, yeah, say, in the early 90s or so. Mm-hmm. And 98, then I started with the project space. And the project space was in Linienstraße, right in between Neue Riemschneider and Klosterfelde.
Quite a good location. Hmm.
Which were, at this time, there were these totally hip young galleries. And I had this tiny 60 square meter space in between. And yeah, this was quite a success with this project space. And I also got invited by the Fair of Berlin, the Art Forum at this time, to do something there. And I realized after a while that I'm more interested in working with a small group of artists on a long-term basis. And this was the moment then when I, 2001, decided to continue with a gallery. And the funny thing was I had no contact to collectors or so, you know. So it was really a bit out of the blank.
Yeah.
And this maybe refers again to this everything is possible attitude. But then I had this great luck that I got accepted at Lister in the very first year.
Yeah.
And with this experience, everything changed. And this is maybe the nicest loop in my biography, mm-hmm. that I'm now back at Liste in a very different position.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, from 2001 to 2014, that is a long time running a gallery. It's still a young gallery, but still it's 13 years. And how did the work at the gallery change in that time? You started like anything goes, you were accepted at Liste, then later also at other art fairs, although you, in the beginning, you said you didn't know collectors. But then how did this change for you? At what point you said like, oh, I'm looking for something new. I'm going to change the track of my life.
I was actually never looking for something new. It was really, the gallery was my life. And mm-hmm. I was very convinced in doing this. And I was very curious always about this young generation of artists. I love to discover artists, you know, and really starting this and building up something together with them. And this continued the whole time. And it's not so easy to say when exactly something changed. Of course, it's always like, you know, when you start and you are naive and mm-hmm. all this, things are sometimes easier, you know, than when you have more experience, you know more about what means the step and that step. But I think for me always it was very important really to mediate the idea and the artistic approach of the artist, and I was maybe not enough commercial oriented, mm-hmm. something like that.
What would be your advice for galleries that are around like 10 years, 15 years, mid-career, what do you think they should pay attention to?
There's no one recipe, to be honest. You know, it has so much to do with the history of the gallery, with on what a gallery is focusing on and all this, you know. So I would say there's nothing you can really make correct or wrong or these kind of things. It's more, I think, that you should always try to stay with your beliefs. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's working and sometimes it's not working, you know. There's not one answer. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something maybe to take your time to grow is something I think it's really important. And, you know, I was like 2010 was a kind of special year in the gallery history because I got in the board of Gallery Weekend mm-hmm. and ABC, and also I became a committee member of Art Basel Miami Beach. Mm-hmm. And these were two incredible experiences for me. At this time, ABC and Gallery Weekend was really organized by the group of galleries in the board. And Maike, who is now the director, she came later. And so at this time I already organized a fair, you know, mm-hmm. we never called it fair, but it was kind of fair, yes. exhibition, whatever. So at ABC with 120 galleries. So there I learned a lot and I made a lot of experiences and I don't want to miss it. But of course, at the same time, both positions were, yeah, kind of powerful, mm-hmm. which also makes it, of course, a bit more tense, you know. You have way more responsibility, not only the responsibility for your artists, but also for other mm-hmm. galleries. And this was all quite a lot, you know, for me running the gallery by my own with this quite young program. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say any decision was wrong because all what I have done then, now I can rely on, yeah. you know, and helps me a lot now in my position. So at the moment, I have the feeling everything what I made makes sense.
Yes, because you know how galleries work, you know what they need. So that is a very good start for an art fair director. And the beliefs, you said as a gallery, you have to stay true to your beliefs. And did the beliefs you had as a gallerist, first, what were those beliefs? But secondly, also, are they now also reflected as being director of Liste?
My beliefs were really the importance of contemporary art mm-hmm. and to get confronted with the unknown, with the new, mm-hmm. maybe also the uncertainty, and learning through that, seeing the world from different perspectives. And this is really my really, really big belief mm-hmm. in art in general, you know, or in culture in general, in a way it's a truly humanistic sense, you know. And so my main focus was on helping, supporting young artists to become visible. And also, of course, to earn money to continue their work. And this is still something which influenced me a lot in my work now, that I see the great risk all these galleries of the younger generation are taking and deciding for a new young artist, giving the artist a solo exhibition, bringing the artist to fairs without knowing if the market reacts positive on it, you know? And this, but it's a huge cultural work, I would say, you know? If you would imagine, the galleries would not exist anymore, you know? A lot of artists would never had the possibility to show their work and to get this attention.
Yes, we all sit in the same boat. We really need each other and depend on each other.
Exactly.
And that includes the art fairs, absolutely. So these ideas are also reflected in the way you run Lister. I mean, I guess you had a lot of conversations now with the galleries that are attending Lister in these times. What is coming back there? What are the responses? How are the younger galleries doing?
Fortunately, they're doing pretty okay. And this is something I'm really, really happy about. Maybe it's the big difference to the financial crisis in 2008, where all the collectors lost money, you know, and now the stock exchange is okay and, you know, everyone saved money. And also the galleries, of course, saved a lot of money. And the collectors were supportive and continued buying. And also the galleries a lot told me they had now more time to be in exchange with the collectors. And everyone was sitting at home, you know. So I think, and also, of course, the collectors had maybe more time because they had not so many other things to do except of working. And so this is really a good news. I'm a bit worried about the institutions and the artists, I must say, because the artists, of course, they couldn't save money, but the gallery sold less, you know, because, of course, they sold less, I think, most of them, you know. And I don't know how it will be for the institutions in the future after the governments need to spend now so much money for the corona support.
There are a lot of questions. And also, I was wondering that on one hand, we see that there are certain local markets and certain local art communities which support each other and which work quite well. And also the fairs are talking much more about local communities. But we also have to stay, we can't just become regional, we have to stay international. How can we do this? How is that happening, not only through the digital, but also in real life? How can we stay in touch in real life?
I think we have to start traveling again. And as soon as it's possible, or I think many are longing, but I also, I must say, even can't imagine anymore how it is to sit in an airplane. And but I don't think this whole can stop, you know, forever or so. And of course, every one of us will be maybe now a bit more reflective and will consider if this is really necessary to fly there, or maybe it's more reduced to a few events in the year and not traveling twice a month somewhere or something like this, you know. And I think we all learned, of course, now how to connect digitally. Everyone is tired about Zoom. I'm very tired about Zoom. But of course, it has to do with only having Zoom meetings now. And I think it should be a good mixture in the future. Or I would wish it would be a good mixture, you know, still, of course, traveling and meeting people. And it's, this can't replace anything, you know. Also, bumping into people without planning to meet them is so important, I think. So I think it's important to rely on both, you know. I'm pretty sure the digital will stay as an important way to connect.
What does Lister do in that regard? What are you offering your exhibitors?
Last year, we launched Liste Showtime online. Mm-hmm. This is similar to the online viewing rooms, but also different because the galleries and the exhibitors, they can introduce one artist only, and they got kind of models which they could create their own page. So mm-hmm. they could integrate interviews, videos, making of videos, also audio files, everything, you know. So it's really the idea of Liste to introduce an artist.
Okay.
We are now working on it to improve it. Last year, we had only 3 months time from really the first idea until the launch. And of course, it had to get programmed and everything. So now we will improve it. And this year, we opened it to galleries and project spaces to apply only for Liste Showtime.
Oh, that's interesting. That's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Because this is maybe also interesting in terms of how to continue being international. I think online you can be even more international, you know. There are maybe spaces who never could afford to go to Switzerland and doing a fair.
Yeah.
But they want to be on this platform of this group of Liste artists and exhibitors. And so we thought we also should open it to project spaces because Liste is so much about collecting the most important new voices in contemporary art. Mm-hmm. And as we all know, project spaces are very important for that.
Mm-hmm.
And also important for making artists visible. So we open it also for project spaces. Liste Showtime will be a bit bigger than the fair itself. And then we further thought, okay, if this is so much about Liste and we have presenting these new voices in contemporary art and everything is only temporary, the Liste Showtime and the fair, why not creating a new platform which functions as a research forum where we can add each year all the artist pages from Liste Showtime.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So this is something we will launch in October, and this is organized by the Joinery. So it's a non-commercial association, which is in the close context of Liste. Joinery is organizing this now, and we are very excited about this because I think this is something which could be really interesting in the future for curators and collectors and everyone who is interested in art.
So that it's like an archive.
Yeah, we try to avoid the word okay. archive mm-hmm. because archive associates something where nothing is moving
yeah.
anymore.
Okay. Yeah,
you
yeah.
know?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we want to create a kind of active page where also you can interact and yeah, can really have your own research field. I can't go too much in detail. It needs a bit more time. It should be really active. What I maybe can say is we will work together with Spike Art Magazine in the first year. So, for example, they will organize a monthly pick.
Mm-hmm.
They will select writers who choose then one work out of this pool of artists. And so we will publish this monthly and so on and so on.
So that's really extending the art fair format in a really new direction.
Yes, and it's non-commercial, so it's not that the galleries are and the project spaces in the foreground, it's really the artist.
Mm-hmm.
And if you imagine like you have 5-6 years later, then you can see who was showing 2021
mm-hmm.
with all this information, but we also will work with kind of discourse terms selected by also young curators and writers. So you can really see what's going on at this time. But at the same time, of course, you have just an overview then. And I can say like this year, it will be nearly 200 artists already.
Wow. Okay. That's big. Mm-hmm. So this is open for exhibitors at Liste for their artists?
Actually, we take the entries of Liste Showtime and adapt
okay.
them,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I don't know if you have seen it last year, but it was really, really great how the exhibitors worked with this freedom to create their own pages. Mm-hmm. They really used it as a platform to introduce the artist. And also a lot of curators told me it was so great, at least the Showtime, because you really got a lot of information about the artist. And the works for sale were in between, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, the other information. Or so it was not the main focus.
Okay, but the focus still is on galleries of a younger generation and the project spaces, but are you also accepting galleries from an older generation? I know you accept artists from an older generation when they're shown by a younger gallery. How is that working? Does Lister go back to its roots where it was mostly about the young generation of galleries?
It's mostly always young generations of galleries, but we have selected also in the last years galleries who might operate since a while, but have a program with young artists, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This word young, it's very difficult, yes. You know, it's more about new voices, new mm-hmm. tendencies.
It's not about the chronological time, it's more about the new ideas. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Exactly. This idea to discover something. Mm-hmm. And of course, there is a tendency, and this is something I think it's good and it's important, you know, that the young galleries are working with their peers and with their peer group. So they are then, most of them are also young artists. And I think that's something, you know that, you know, and this was my same experience. So this is something really great mm-hmm. if you grow together. So of course, the majority, I would say, are young galleries and young artists. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that... I mean, that is might be true for all of us, but do you think that if you're getting older and also as a gallery, that you somehow start losing your grip on the younger generation, that you're not understanding really anymore what's going on there?
Of course, I think this is a relevant thing. It depends, I think, also on each person mm-hmm. individually. You know, I'm a super curious person, so I'm more than happy that I can work with the young generation because I have the feeling I always can learn something. Mm-hmm. But in general, I think it's of course like that. I realize sometimes now that I have really difficulties to understand how the young people use Instagram or the social media mm-hmm. or whatever. So, you know, and I don't understand it, you know, mm-hmm. I don't get it. What's the excitement about it? Just a simple example, you know, mm-hmm. and I think it's, yeah, has a value and is good if the galleries are working with their peer groups. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a big question too. How do you stay up with the necessities of each time, with the creative ideas of each time, so that you don't get just lost in the past? I'm thinking about this a lot, for example.
Yeah, no, I totally understand what you mean. And I think it's also, yeah, I would never say it's not good if the gallery is older than the artist mm-hmm. or the other way around. Maybe I would say the heart of the gallery is often the peer group. You know? Mm-hmm.
And you're planning right now for September for the physical art fair?
Yes.
Yes. It's just one can only say, well, you're planning, maybe, probably. But right now you're planning for that. And
so we're seriously planning.
Yeah, yes, I know, which I think is great. And what are the plans for that?
It's a special year, of course. So we were thinking a lot about where can we go, which location would be the best to have the fair in a time where it's still not clear how many safety measures mm-hmm. and regulations we have to consider. And I talked with Mark Spiegler from Art Basel in October and asked him if he could consider and imagine that we are coming to the fairground, mm-hmm. Messe Basel. And just to understand, this is something never was allowed, that another art fair taking place at the fairground mm-hmm. during Art Basel. But Mark was immediately open to this idea, really supportive, really great in the sense of collaborating and solidarity, I must say. So we are going to the fairground mm-hmm. and we have a hall by our own, of course. Mm-hmm. We are above Art Unlimited, but the entrance is from the backside. So, yeah, we have a huge hall now this year.
Wow.
Which is totally the opposite of the usual location of Lister, which is a former brewery with many staircases and terraces and tiny entrances, doors, and these kind of things. So, yeah, it's exciting. And of course, we are now working with architects because this is something we care a lot about, that the identity of Lister is not getting lost with this move.
Some of the charm of Lister also is its location,
of course,
in the brewery, and that it is so packed and tiny and cramped and all of that, and every space is different. But for sure, in these times, you wouldn't be able to use that space. But that would be interesting to see how you keep like the spirit of Lister alive in a just normal fair hall. Mm-hmm. What are the ideas for that?
Oh, it's too early, but I already know, but it's too early to tell.
Okay.
What I can tell is we could win this really amazing architecture office, Kersten Geers, David van Severen from Belgium. Mm-hmm. And they made a layout, which is incredible, great.
Okay. And
very special. Never seen at a fair like that.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Promising. Mm. Okay, so we'll all be very curious. And are you expecting, or do you count on that a lot of international people will come at that time to Switzerland?
I, of course, count on internationality. It's also our exhibitors are international. But of course, I don't think that the same amount is coming. Mm-hmm. You know, I think maybe there are more from Europe coming. I don't mm-hmm. think that there are less people because people are so hungry to see and experience art again mm-hmm. and also to come to events. I think it's probably more European than from the other continents coming. But that's why I think Lister Showtime Online is so important. This is, of course, then for all the collectors who might hesitate this year to travel mm-hmm. to Switzerland, you know, that they still have the chance also to experience the fair, even if it's done virtually.
And this new move with a new architecture, is that something which is just this special thing for this year, or are there talks about probably continuing this in the future?
There are no talks. This was really a one-time decision. Mm-hmm. But what I learned in the last year is never say no to anything, you know?
Yes.
Let's see how things are developing.
Okay. You know?
But there's no agreement at all. Mm-hmm. I think we both were saying like, okay, it's a special year, so let's do it for this year.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. And my last question would be like two parts. So first, do you think there will be a new normal for us, for the art world, and how could that look? Or do you think we will just go back to the old? And the second thing is also, what would you wish to be the new normal? What would be your wish for how everything continues?
To be honest, this is really a question which is impossible to answer.
I know.
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. Even myself has no idea, you know. I don't know how I will feel when everything is possible again and if I fall back or not. It's such an extraordinary situation. And I often think if after the pandemic, we will realize how exhausting it was mm-hmm. and how much tension was there also in our bodies, you know. And so I think it's really something you can't answer now, you know.
Mm. That is an honest answer, absolutely. And the wish you would have for or you can't answer that too, because you won't know what's going to be your feelings when everything is open again. But what would you wish for? What would be for you like a great outcome?
I think it's always the best outcome if people really take time to look at the art and to experience the art, and that it's less about only being present everywhere, mm-hmm. you know? But this has to do with the speed of each individual. And then there's also this idea of solidarity and collaborations and all this. This would be great if this continues and if this could stay.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is now a lot said. I think this is something really special.
Mm-hmm. One thing I wanted to ask you earlier, but I forgot, but I kind of want to know it. So how do you spend your day now as the director of Liszt? How does that look like?
Okay, I have this office chair, which is standing behind my living room table where I have my office now. And then I have this lounge chair, which is several meters away from it. There I'm spending then my evenings and reading. So I'm moving from one chair to the other. It's a lot about this. We have a tiny office, you know, and so we really have to do home office. Mm-hmm. And we are doing this now since October again. And here you have to do home office in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty privileged here in Switzerland because the museums have opened again and the galleries and the shops have opened again. So, of course, what I have done a lot was seeing exhibitions.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do this now again. And which is easy to do. And everyone knows there are many, many great institutions in Switzerland.
So there's a lot to see.
There's a lot to see, yeah.
Yeah, I hope we'll also see each other in the flesh again soon. And thank you very much, Joanna, for the talk.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting, Daniela.
For more information on Voices on Art, the Van Horn Gallery podcast, follow us on Instagram at Voices on Art, and at van_horn_Düsseldorf. There you can also leave a comment. Visit our website van-horn.net and subscribe to Voices on Art on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the platform of your choice. If you want to, leave us a rating. Thank you for listening to Voices on Art, the Van Horn Gallery podcast hosted by Daniela Steinfeld. Stay tuned and connect.